Good morning. We are continuing our study of the doctrines of the Bible, and our topic for today is redemption. Please open your Bible to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 24. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Second portion is 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The topic of redemption is one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. Two themes that the Bible deals with from the beginning to the end are: one, man's departure from God, and God's redemption of mankind. The word redemption means deliverance by payment of a price and set free. At least three or more words from the original language are translated as redemption in the Bible. The Greek word lutru is translated as redemption, which refers to paying a ransom to free someone from slavery. The price of a slave's freedom is called a ransom price. During the first century, in the Roman Empire, had approximately 20 million slaves, and the buying and selling of these slaves was a major business. If a person wanted to free a loved one or a friend who was a slave, he would buy the slave by paying the ransom or the price and then grant him freedom. The person who bought the slave would provide a certificate of redemption. The Greek word lutru was used to describe such a transaction. As I mentioned earlier, there are other words which are translated as redemption. We have no time to look at it, but the basic meaning is same, but in different circumstances. The redemption of mankind was a great work of God. Our Lord Jesus himself said in the scripture that he came to this world to give his life as a ransom for many. Ransom is the price of redemption. Salvation is a whole saving work of God, whereas the redemption looks specifically at the price involved or the means by which salvation is achieved. Redemption shows how God paid the price to deliver us from the bondage and penalty of sin. The verse we read from 1 Peter says, we are not redeemed with perishable things or corruptible things like silver or gold, but with precious blood of the Lamb without blemish or without spot. God paid the price for our redemption. with the precious blood of his beloved Son, our Savior Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul reminds us that we have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. So redemption means, in the Bible, paying a ransom to free someone from the bondage of sin and set that person free. In the portion we read from Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes an important statement. Paul says in verse 23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, how could a man be redeemed and right before God? All throughout history, religious men have asked that question themselves. How could a man be right before God? If you can turn to Job chapter 9, I just want to read one verse. Job chapter 9, verse 2, second part of verse 2. Job chapter 9. Job is asking the same question there. How can a man be righteous before God? Having asked that question, if you read the whole chapter, Job is making some amazing statements in that chapter. I have no time to read all the verses, but let me summarize his statements. Job states that God is holy, so powerful, so mighty. How can I ever approach him? How can I ever get an audience with him? How can I ever have a relationship with him? Can a man have a right relationship with such a holy, infinite, and mighty God? We know throughout the history, men tried to be good with God with their works or by their own effort. Most religions tell man, he can right with God if he does certain good works based on human efforts. In Romans chapter 3, the verses we read earlier, Paul addresses that question. Paul says, yes, you can have a right relationship with God, but not on the basis of anything that man does or by any human works, but by the precious blood of the Son of God, who offered himself as a ransom or a substitute for all. He was the propitiation for our sins. In that doctrine, Christianity stands out from all other religion. Remember that no man can pay the ransom of their sins. There is no human work that will satisfy God's righteousness. We read in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, that all righteousness are like filthy rags before God. Only God can provide our redemption. We see that truth from the beginning of the Bible. We shall look two Old Testament passages where we can see clearly the picture of God's plan of redemption. Then we shall briefly consider four questions in connection with the word redemption. First, let us look to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 talks about the history of sin. Genesis chapter 3, I'll read from verse 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We know that God placed Adam and Eve in a perfect setting, in a perfect place, with all provisions and with the daily fellowship of God in the garden. And God gave them instructions, including what they should do and what they should not do. But only God said, if you eat the fruit in the midst of the tree, you will surely die. Let me ask you a question. Did Adam and Eve really believe that when God had told them they will die if they eat the tree, if the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden? Maybe up to a point, till Satan came to their world and Satan tempted them to believe that God had not told them the whole truth. First, Satan questioned the word in verse 1. Satan is asking, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said, God told them, the day you eat the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, you will die. The woman said that to Satan. See verse 4. Satan directly contradicting God's command to Eve. He says, you will not surely die. And Adam and Eve believed Satan's word. Isn't it amazing? Adam and Eve living in the Garden of Eden, in a perfect setting, he knows the goodness of God, he enjoyed the fellowship of God, they know God personally. Even in such setting, Satan's words were so convincing for them, they believed Satan's word. Even now, there is no change, isn't it? Satan is tempting us and sending many people not to believe the God's word. They disobeyed God and they fell into sin. In verse 7 we read, the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed a fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they tried to hide from God. That's the first thing they did. They tried to cover their nakedness and they tried to hide from God. They realized that Satan lied to them. See verse 15. God said to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Here God is telling Satan that he is going to redeem the fallen man. One who comes out of this woman will bruise your head. That person is Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21 we read, if you look, come down to verse 21, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made garments or tunics of skin and clothed them. Here we see the amazing love and provision of God for Adam and his wife. God had to kill an animal to provide garments for them. It was God himself made the garments of skin. There is no work for Adam and Eve involved in this. Nothing from their part. All the work was done by God. God initiates the work of redemption. Here we see God's act of grace and mercy towards the fallen men. This is the first picture of redemption by God in the Bible. An innocent animal is sacrificed so that the garments can be made to cover Adam and Eve. Nobody can make an acceptable covering for his sin by himself. Let me read an important verse from Psalm 49. If you can turn, Psalm 49, verse 7. Psalm 49, verse 7. We read there, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is costly." Adam and Eve tried to put together a covering out of the leaves, but it was inadequate. Only God can make the covering that is satisfactory and acceptable. This is the picture of God covering a naked sinner with a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness through the sacrifice of an innocent victim as a substitution. That was his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrew chapter 9 we read, verse 22, "Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." So in the book of Genesis chapter 3, we have the introduction of this doctrine of redemption. The second portion I want to look is from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. I'm not reading the whole, you know the story of the redemption of the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. They were captives there, and God asked Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh to send the children of Israel for worship to Yahweh. We know the story. According to God's command, Moses told King Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And we know that Pharaoh hardened his heart and did not send the children of Israel. And God brought judgment through 9 different plagues in Egypt. But Pharaoh again hardened his heart. And the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn in every house of Egypt. God instructed the children of Israel to take a 1-year-old male lamb without any blemish and keep the lamb for 14 days with them. Then kill the lamb as a sacrifice to God and put its blood on the doorposts and lintel. Then they shall eat the flesh of the lamb in the same night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. It is Lord's Passover. God told Moses that he will judge the land of Egypt that night and strike the firstborn in every house of Egypt. The blood of the doorpost and the lintels shall be the sign of the houses of children of Israel. We read in verse 13 in chapter 12, "When God sees the blood, he will pass over you and will not destroy you." The lamb's life would be the ransom or price to purchase the life of the firstborn in Israel. The lamb, which was spotless and without any blemish, would die as a substitute to redeem the life of the firstborn. From that day onwards, children of Israel saw God as the Redeemer, one who brought them out of slavery, one who redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb. So in these two portions, we saw the redemption provided by God paying a ransom as a substitute. These are the pictures of the actual redemption of the man by the Lamb of God, Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to New Testament, we can see the complete picture of God's plan of redemption of mankind. We read in Gospel of John that God manifested in flesh. Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, came as a ransom for our sins, as a sacrifice acceptable to God. Now, let us consider four questions regarding the topic of redemption to better understand what this means to us as believers. First question is, what were we redeemed from? The two examples we looked earlier from Old Testament give us the answers clearly. We are redeemed from sin and slavery of Satan. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, we read, we are slaves to sin. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we read, we were dead in sins and trespasses. And we walked according to this course of this world, according to the prince or the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? It is Satan. So the Bible clearly tells us that once we were slaves to sin and once we were slaves to Satan. In Galatians chapter 13, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does that mean? We know that the law says, the soul that sinneth shall die. In other words, the wages of sin is death. So Christ has redeemed us from sin, and the wages of or consequence of sin, which is eternal death. In Apostle Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he says, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul's confession, his own ignorance of true and living God. The people who are not redeemed from sin are ignorant, just like Paul, about the true and living God who loves them. So, the verse we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. We should understand that some of us are slaves to tradition of religion. We inherit from our families or from our forefathers. So the answer to our first question is that we are redeemed from, first, the slavery of sin, second, from the ignorance of true and living and loving God, third, from the tradition we inherit from our fathers. So from the slavery of sin, from the ignorance, and from the tradition. Second, what were we redeemed with? 1 Peter 18, that is my basis here afterwards. The first we are sticking to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, chapter 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, Peter is saying that the price God paid to redeem us is not some perishable things like silver or gold. Why does Peter bring up silver and gold here? I believe, as a Jewish person, Peter knows in the book of Exodus God gave instructions to Moses about the ransom money. If you can turn to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 and 12. Exodus chapter 30, verse 11 and 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. When you number them, that you will be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give: half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord." It is interesting that God is not commanding Moses to take any census at that time. But God knows that in the future, the leaders of Israel is going to do that. They are going to take the census of the people. So God gives instructions that each Israelite shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord to avoid a plague among them. Well, why would God send plague for taking a census? I believe it shows they are not trusting God and His strength, and the unbelief is considered a sin. We know King David made a mistake of numbering the people to find out his military strength, and he paid a very heavy price for that. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, we read, God sent plague among them, and 70,000 men died by the plague, or perished by the plague. So Peter may be thinking about that, the law God gave them. So here he says, you are not redeemed with perishable things, like half a shekel of silver or gold, because such things will not redeem eternal soul from the bondage of sin. Remember that you cannot buy salvation by your money. We saw earlier in the Psalm 49 that no man can pay by any means, redeem his brother or give to God the ransom for him. For redemption of their soul is costly. Only the precious blood of Christ can redeem our souls. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own precious blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So we are redeemed from sin, and we are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, third question is, by whom were we redeemed? And again, 1 Peter chapter 19 says, we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. The focus is on the person of Jesus Christ. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Galatians chapter 4 we read, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive redemption of sins. Here the promise of God in Genesis chapter 3 was fulfilled. The John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." So the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished our redemption. We were redeemed from the sin. We are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb, and Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. Now the last question is, what is the purpose of our redemption? We have a number of passages to consider, but for the time's sake, let me look only one portion one or two portions from 1 Peter, depends upon the time. Chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. We read there, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." So Jesus Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifested in these last times for you, or for our sake. So the redemption work is for us, because Jesus Christ manifested for us to make us believers in God by the grace of God. Now the verse 21 we read, "so that your faith and hope are in God." So that is one of the purpose of redemption. While we live in this world, our faith and hope should be in the God. We have been redeemed at present from our sin, so that we might have a relationship with God. And we have, second part is, we have a glorious hope for the future. That is, one day Jesus Christ is going to come back to take us with him. Romans chapter 8, if you can turn that verse, says, Romans chapter 8, let me read that verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 23, last portion of verse 23. "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body." This is our glorious hope of the resurrection day. Our body also will be redeemed, and we will have a resurrected body. In other words, at present, our souls are redeemed, not with our body. We have a body still with all kinds of diseases, infirmities, pains, but we have a glorious hope that in the future, during the resurrection day, the people who died in Christ will rise again, and they will have a body, an incorruptible body. That is our glorious hope in the coming day. So let me close with a verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, chapter 1, verse 13. That is another purpose of our redemption. "Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." So Apostle Paul reminds the believers five important things here in this verse. As the redeemed children of God, we have to be careful while we live in this world. First, gird up your loins of your mind. Second, be sober. Third, rest your hope fully upon the grace of Jesus Christ. Four, obedient to the Lord in every way. And five, be holy in all your conduct. That is the purpose of our redemption while we live in this world. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, We thank you for our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from our sin and brought us to the family of God. We thank you, he became the Lamb of God. And we thank you for his perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for redeeming us from sin and the bondage of sin, and brought us as the children of God. Father, we pray that in the coming days as we live in this world, help us to be faithful to you in all aspects of our life, to be obedient, to be sober, to be diligent, that one day we have to stand before God and give an account for our life in this world. So, Father, help us. Send us with thy blessing. In Jesus' precious name, we ask. Amen.